So it's been a fun morning together already. We're going to dive into God's Word together, though. So if you would, please turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. We're kind of working our way through the book here. We're at verses 6 and 7 today. And we're just continuing to ask the question, how should we live in this broken old world that we find ourselves? Good question, right? And I trust that God's giving you some answers. I know I'm really enjoying this book. Let's pray together before we read His Word together this morning. Lord, I just thank You for the time we've had already. I thank You, Father, for Christine's story and how You have drawn her over the years. And she has asked You into her heart. Lord, we thank You for this verse that says, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And we thank You, Lord, that You make us this promise. If we put our faith in You and in Your perfect work for us, that You will not turn us away. And oh, how we thank You. Lord, just thank You for everything else You're doing here today, too. And as we turn now to Your Word, we pray for Your a voice just to speak directly to our hearts. Lord, You're the one that we need to hear from. I need to hear Your voice as much as anyone else. And we just ask You to speak to us, take Your words and speak to our hearts. And we thank You for them and pray it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so let's read together Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So how should we live in this old broken world? My summary of those two verses was, we should live in dependence on God, and having faith in God. Faith and dependence. Those two key ideas go hand in hand, and I believe they're presented in these verses. But going back to the beginning of verse 6, he starts off by saying, be anxious for nothing. So there's the problem that we all face. We're not supposed to be anxious. We shouldn't be fearful. Now, a lot of people that I know, especially guys, if they would read something like that, they'd be like, a little bit of anxiety? Oh my goodness. You know, if that's the biggest of my problems, then I'm doing okay. They're not very concerned about anxiety. But the more I've meditated on this verse, the more I've just come to realize fear and anxiety are bigger issues for us than we might realize. Let me just give you a couple of examples. Of course, I know guys better than girls, since I am one. And I know some big, manly men. Actually, quite a few. I mean, they are like built. You know, they're huge. They're buff. They go to the gym. They're like, bring it on. You know, I'll take any takers. And yet, they are afraid to say the name of Jesus in public. They're often afraid to pray in public. They're afraid to talk about their faith in public. And so here's this big manly man that Satan has been able to take out of the battle by a little tiny thing called fear and anxiety. I'll describe some of my own to you here in just a couple of minutes. But think about the ladies as well. Now, obviously, I'm not a lady, so I don't pretend to know some of the things that you all face. You all could probably tell the story better than me. But I've heard from different ladies that sometimes there are some fears that women in general face as well, like security, from what I understand, is a major issue. Financial security, a home, that type of thing. And a lot of times, from what I've heard, ladies will be taken right out of the battle because they are so concerned with that security in life. And so we're often looking at it as a little tiny anxiety, and yet the Bible explains to us this is a bigger problem than we may realize. Turn with me, if you would, really quickly to Matthew chapter 6, because Jesus talks about this very same thing. And I think it may help us just to hear some of his words. These, I'm sure, will be very familiar words to you. They're such encouraging words. But it just points out to us our need to trust our Father and be able to overcome this area of life. This is Matthew chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 25. This is what Jesus says. "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon, in all his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, 'What will we eat?' or 'What will we drink?' or 'What will we wear for clothing?' For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things." Now, of course, the Gentiles back then, the reference would be to, they're the people who really didn't know a lot about God. They didn't have the Bible given to them. So it would be those outside of that circle. And so Jesus is saying, listen, the Gentiles are looking for all these things. The people who don't know about me. "For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So Jesus talks about the importance of not being anxious about things. So let me just give you a little bit of my own story. Now, I know some of you that have been here longer know some of these things already, but just to help you start thinking about this. I remember about, of course, I dealt with fear and anxiety before then, but I remember about 15 years ago when the Lord started talking to me about leaving a regular type of occupation and doing something different for Him. And I fought this thing tooth and nail. And there were a number of reasons. One was I didn't feel qualified, and another was I had figured out that it took money for a family to live on. And I was like, where's it going to come from? So, Lord, since I'm not that greatly qualified, you know, what in the world is going to happen to us and our family and our financial needs? And so I had this thing that was just very much threatening that I wouldn't be willing to say yes to Him. So it was huge for me. It took a lot of praying, and the Lord helped us to work through that area, and He's faithful, and He's taken care of us for the last 15 years, no problems whatsoever. But it didn't stop then. I can remember different times as I've been a pastor. I can remember one day in particular, I felt like the Lord said to me I needed to go talk to these two different guys in the church, and I was scared to death, and I felt like, man, if I talk to these guys, what's going to happen to our church family? And so fear almost kept me from doing that. But here we are. I ended up talking with both of them, and God's been faithful. I even just a couple of weeks ago, actually, it came up for me again. We had a Sunday where we had an especially low attendance here at church. And I just went home, and I had this major spiritual battle. You know, fear and anxiety again. And the Lord, you know, He brought me to some verses. Actually, we're going to read some of those verses together this morning. He brought me to some thoughts from the Word that helped me to get past those things. But I'm not saying those things so much for you to think about me as I'd like you to think about you. You know, what fear, what things affect your life and affect how you might follow the Lord Jesus? Because Paul here is telling us, hey, don't let this thing get you. Don't let it get you. And he had some other advice for us. So going back to Philippians chapter 4, his advice, very first thing he says is, be anxious for nothing. Well, before we go to the specifics, faith and dependence. Faith and dependence. And they go hand in hand. And I believe, the first one we're going to talk about is dependence. Okay? He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. All right, so that's the idea of dependence. I love some of Kaz's pithy statements about how, you know, he'll give us his translation of the Bible. So I'm going to give you my translation of this verse. God is saying, Sam, ask for help. Right? Ask for help. Literally, ask me. God said, why don't you just ask me? You know, I was sitting around this week at home trying to think of how many ways could I say ask for help so that when everyone left this week, they would just leave as they walked out the door thinking, okay, God wants me to ask for help. Because that's what he says right here, right? Do nothing from anxiety, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Simply ask me for help. Wow. Now, I know for guys, this is sometimes an issue, right? I mean, there's like so many jokes about this, and I'm not that great with the jokes, so I'll let someone else tell the jokes. But guys never ask for directions, right? Guys never read instructions, and guys pretty much always do it themselves. They work alone. We're just not used to asking for help. You know, we had John Wayne movies that we watched for like 30 years, and John Wayne never asked for anybody's help. No one even showed up until John Wayne had finished cleaning up all the mess, and then everyone kind of showed up. And then we had The Incredibles come out, you know, after that, and Mr. Incredible, you know, he's like, I work alone. And so it just kind of reinforced this idea for us men that we never ask for help. To be a man is, I got this. I can do this. And so sometimes I think it's just an obstacle for us to overcome, because God simply wants us to talk to him and ask him if he'll help us out. And so, I just get excited about that invitation that he has made to us. And the reality is, really the reality is that life is beyond our control. I don't know how much you think about that, but life is so much beyond our control. And sometimes what I see with us guys, again, I don't know the ladies quite as well, but sometimes what I see with us guys is if it's beyond our control, then we start backing away from it. So it's like, okay, I'm not going to go over there and mess with that because I'm not in control there. Okay, and I'm not going to mess with this one either because I'm not really that in control there. And so if we're not careful, we can put ourselves in a pretty small little box. When God just wants us to ask for him to help us with these things that are beyond our control. Turn with me, if you would, back just to the book before this, Ephesians chapter 6. And just look with me real quickly here, because some of these verses in Ephesians 6 show us just how beyond our control life is. It's right before the book of Ephesians. before the book of Philippians. Ephesians 6, look at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. So it's a similar idea. God, in that verse we just read, God said, ask for help. This verse says, be strong in the Lord. Okay, men, you know, we've always been taught, listen, you got to be a man. You got to be strong. And so we just think that's us. But this verse says, be strong in the Lord. And here he gives us a way to do so. Verse 11, he says, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. All right, so notice two things there. Number one is he gives us a way to be strong in the Lord, and that's going to be in the following verses because he's going to talk about the armor of God that we can put on. And then he says, because our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We're struggling actually against Satan and satanic forces. Okay, we want you to be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. So just think about that real quickly. This verse tells us, and I know here in the West, we sometimes don't think a lot about Satan. But the Bible says he is very real. In other parts of the world, they see it. They often very visibly see it. And this verse says that he's scheming. In other words, he's watching you and me. He's got out paper and pencil. And he's going, okay, that tripped Sam up last week. I think I'm going to hit him with that about five more times this next week. And he is actually making a plan to trip you and me up, to take us out of God's service, get us walk away from Him. So this thing is out of our control. Look at the next verse. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So there are large forces out there that are against us in this spiritual battle. And we need to be aware of that. I personally think that if we are not aware of it, we may lose this battle for most of our lives. Because we, you know, it's like when you're boxing and you're boxing up an opponent that you can't see. Who hit me? Right? If we don't understand that we're in a spiritual battle. This is one of the things I was telling you, you know, several weeks ago that I got kind of discouraged and had a big spiritual battle. And this is one of the things the Lord was saying to me then. This is the very verses that I read that week. And he just encouraged my heart. Sam, you pray to me, I will fight this battle for you. And that's what he's wanting to do. And of course, he gives us the weapons here. Let's just read through those real quickly. Take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So even though we're forgiven, we try to live our lives in a way that's righteous and pure and holy. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, we're willing to talk to people about Him, to be His witnesses. Taking up the shield of faith. Verse 17, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. And then in verse 18, again, he's talking about prayer and asking for God's help. So all of these things are things that God has given us that we can do to be strong in the Lord and to be dependent on Him. To be dependent on Him. So that's the first step. Now going back to Philippians chapter 4, the second step, the thing that goes hand in hand with dependence, is the idea of faith. Okay, not only do I go to God and ask for His help, but I'm to operate in faith. Look at verse 7. I'm to take my requests to Him. And then verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So I believe that the idea that's being communicated there is the idea of faith. I go to him, I ask for his help, and what am I supposed to do next? I'm supposed to trust him. The peace of God that surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, this verse doesn't say that God's going to fix all of my problems, that he's going to heal all of my diseases, that he's going to turn away every hurt. It doesn't say that. Now, I believe ultimately God is going to do all those things, right? This world is not the goal. And we have incredible promises where God has said that he's coming back for us, that he's going to take us to be with him in heaven. But he hasn't promised to fix all those problems down here. We still face problems. In the world, you will have tribulation. But the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We walk in faith. And this has been a learning curve for me. Okay, I tried to describe to you some of my own personal fears and anxieties. It's been a learning curve for me, but it's becoming more of a habit. And it's becoming a habit that I really enjoy. You know, that I get to wake up in the morning and I get to say, okay, Lord, here's my stuff. Here's the things that are stressing me out today. And I just get to trust him with it. I ask him about it. I pray that he'll help me through it. I ask that he'll help me, you know, not just answer my prayer so that I can be proud and look like some big hero, but just that he'll help me through, and then I get to trust him. And that's what he's asking us to do. He is asking us to trust him. Think about what he said back in Matthew chapter 6. Remember when he was talking about how we shouldn't be worried about what we're going to eat or drink, that kind of thing. What did he give us to do? He didn't really give us anything to do. Jesus just started talking about how we have a great Heavenly Father, right? He says, why are you worried about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink? Think about the sparrows. God just feeds them. Aren't you worth more than the sparrows? And so the idea is, you know, not that I'm to be striving and doing all these things, but the idea is I'm to ask for his help and then I'm to rest. I'm to trust him because he is a faithful God. Now, at the end of that section in Matthew 6, he gave us something to do. But even then, notice it had nothing to do with what they were worried about. At the end, he said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all this other stuff will be added to you. So Jesus said, don't worry. You just serve me. You think about me. You think about living for me and following my plan for your life, and I'm going to take care of all this other stuff. Now, sometimes when I run into problems, you know, I get stressed out. But I think there's going to be a day in the future when I'm going to look back and I'm going to go, man, they were so insignificant. You know, I think we're going to look back on earth and we're going to laugh about our problems and we're going to be amazed at how God carried us through. You know, it's like the footprint story, you know, where there were only one set of footprints. And they're like, Lord, why'd you leave me? And he said, well, actually, I was carrying you. You know, what a picture. We're living by faith, and God is carrying us a whole lot more than we may realize. So I just have a little exercise that I'd like you to do for me this morning, and then a couple of stories I want to read to close with. But here's what I'd like you to do. If you would just take out a paper, maybe you already have it out, pencil, and just jot down anything that you are anxious about this morning, anything that you're fearful about. This could be an enormous problem that's just overwhelming you, Or it could just be something small that's kind of nipping at your heels and aggravating you every day. But just something that's worrying you. And it could be more than one thing. Maybe you need to jot down a couple of things. If you just, whatever it is that's on your mind. And I'd like you to write it down, because I'm hoping that later today you will just get alone with the Lord. Here's your assignment, should you care to accept it. Get alone with the Lord and just do what this verse says. Just follow the instructions in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, ask for help. Just take that list, go get alone with the Lord for a few minutes so nothing can distract you, and ask Him for His help. And then I'd like you to do one final thing with that assignment, and that is, I have just noticed in my own life that sometimes when I do that, this thought will come into my mind. It'll be like the Lord says, okay, Sam, bing, here's what I want you to do. Go do thus and so. And so if He puts something on your heart, go do it. And of course, trust Him. Just rest in Him with that problem. I remember this pastor, actually it's the same guy who wrote Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, Cymbala. He tells the story about having some overwhelming issues with his daughter. His daughter had just kind of left the faith and was living a life that he was actually frightened for her safety. And so he had been praying about it for years and writing her letters and giving her instructions, and she finally left the home and he was still trying to phone call her and doing all these things, and he was just so stressed out about it. And so finally he was praying about it one day, and he said he felt specifically like the Lord said to him, Jim, just stop. You've asked me about this. You've asked me about this for the last 3 years. Stop. I don't want you to do anything else. I don't want you to think about it. You just trust me. And so, well, if you get any of Jim's books, you can read his story. But he finally said, okay, Lord, I know this is bigger than me. I know I can't fix this. I've given it to you 1,000 times. I'm going to stop. And he tells a story about how that very night, there were hundreds of other Christians praying for his daughter because they had heard about it from him. And his daughter, that very night, some things were being done in her life. And he didn't know that night, but a time later when she came back to him and was on a much better path and God had answered his prayers, he found out about what God was doing. And so it was just a journey of faith for Jim Cymbala, this exact thing that we're talking about. So in Jim's case, God told him, stop. I don't know what he might say to you. You know, sometimes he says to us, well, you actually need to go and tell this person that you're sorry. Or I remember one time when I had done something, he said, well, you need to go pay this person some money. I mean, I don't know what God might be saying to you, but as we bring our problems to Him, we're then to trust Him, and we're to do what He asks. All right, so I just want to end with a couple of stories about rest, because rest is a very important part of life, and I think these stories will bear that out. And plus, rest is part of what we're talking about today, right? We bring our issues to Him, and then we trust Him. According to a Greek legend in ancient Athens, a man noticed the great storyteller Aesop playing childish games with some little boys. He laughed and jeered at Aesop, asking him why he wasted his time in such frivolous activity. Aesop responded by picking up a bow, loosening its string, and placing it on the ground. Then he said to the critical Athenian, "Now answer the riddle if you can. Tell us what the unstrung bow implies." Well, the guy didn't know what to say, so Aesop explained, "If you keep a bow always bent, it will break eventually. But if you let it go slack, it will be more fit for use when you want it." God wants us to rest. He wants us to trust Him. Here's another story. There was a man who was challenged by a competitor to a wood chopping contest. He says, "You know, I think I can beat you. I think I can take you. We're going to go out and we're going to chop wood all day long." So the guy who had made the challenge, I mean, he worked harder that day than he had worked any other day in his life, barely took a break for lunch just to stuff his sandwich in his mouth. The other guy took a long, leisurely lunch and several breaks throughout the day, and the challenger was very upset at the end of the day to find out that the other guy had chopped a whole lot more wood than he had. And he's like, "How'd you do that? You didn't even take a break. I didn't even take a break hardly, and you're always lounging around." And he says, but you didn't notice. When I was taking my breaks, I was sharpening my axe." Right? And sometimes God wants us to rest because that's when the axe gets sharper. And this last one I thought was a lot of fun, talking about music. It says, "There's no music in a rest." So just let me explain. You know, there's a rest in music. So you've got the note. Da-da-da, 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 da-da. So the rest is the period in between there. There is no music in a rest, but there is the making of music in it. In our whole life melody, the music is broken off here and there by rests, and we foolishly think we have come to the end of the tune. Not without design does God write the music of our lives. It's ours to learn the tune and not be dismayed at the rests. They are not to be slurred over. They are not to be omitted. They are not to destroy the melody and not to change the keynote. If we sadly say to ourselves, "There's no music in a rest," let us not forget that there is the making of music in it. And so sometimes that's what God wants to do in our lives, make music. You know, I often think about some of our kids are going through like trying to figure out what they're supposed to do in life, right? You know, "Oh no, what am I going to be when I grow up?" And we can let that become very stressful. But maybe, you know, there as well, we're just supposed to rest sometimes. Lord, we thank you for this sweet time to be together, to look into your word, and Lord, just to get our hearts in a place where we're depending on you and where we're trusting in you. Lord, such a good place to be. Thank you for designing us for yourself, Lord, that we weren't meant to be filled with stress and worry, anxiety. But Lord, we're meant to be close to you, to be serving you certainly, passionately, with all of our might, but in the meantime, trusting you, Lord. And so we just thank you for these things, and I just pray that you'll guide us throughout this week. Lord, all the needs that have been mentioned earlier, just pray, oh Lord, for your touch and your blessings in those things, Lord. And I pray it in Christ's name. Amen.